call to order the Health, Education, and Welfare Committee meeting. I would like to ask Representative Hicks if he would give the invocation, please.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day that you have blessed us with. Lord, we just ask that you give us guidance in the best direction that our tribe needs to go and what's presented today. Lord, we just ask that you touch the families today that have sick ones or lost ones in their lives, dear Lord. And Jesus, we just give you all grace and glory for everything that you've blessed us with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Johnny Green.
Present.
Joyce Deere. Randall Hicks.
Present.
James Jennings.
Here.
Rufus Scott.
Here.
Madam Chair, you got four present and one absent.
Four present and one absent constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. Now to the approval of the minutes for June the 11th.
Madam Chair, I'm going to approve the minutes with any necessary changes.
Motion made by Representative Hicks to approve the minutes with any necessary changes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved for June the 11th. Down to the order of business, TR 18-085. A tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute an agreement as well as a business associate agreement between the Okmulgee County Health Department and the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health. Sponsors, Representative Hicks.
Madam Chair, motion to postpone until next month's meeting.
Motion by Representative Hicks to postpone for 1 month. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got three in favor and zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. TR 18-085 is postponed until next month. TR 18-086, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to submit a comprehensive opioid abuse program grant application to the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Hicks. I think the bill is self-explanatory. Second Chief Hicks, do you have any comments to make? Mr. Terry?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Council. I'll be happy to entertain any questions. This grant's for about $943,000. As you guys know, opiates have been a hot topic in the news and across the country, and we want to do everything we can do to make sure that we're staying up to date on our prevention and treatment of these opiate addictions. So that's what will be the first grant to come out. So I'd be happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions? No. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got three in favor and zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. That motion passes. NCA 18-088, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to American Legion Post 1, which was, there was no action taken on the 11th of June. Sponsor is Speaker Tiger.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Hicks. Discussion?
Madam Chair, first,
go ahead.
First thing is I'd like to amend the amount from $5,000 to $2,500.
That was the motion?
Yes.
Motion by Representative Jennings to amend the amount to $2,500. Second by Representative Hicks. Roll call vote, please.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. The amount is amended to $2,500. Discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Mr. Yehola is here to represent the American Legion Post. Mr. Yehola, let him know what you intend to use the money for if this passes. Yes, sir.
You get a copy of first deal I have. Madam Chairman, I'm Sammy Yehola, Full Blood Creek Indian, and from Muscogee Nation, and I'm service officer for American Legion. I'm the only Indian there that's doing this kind of work for the veterans and stuff. I mean, you know, we serve everybody for making the show as well. And money that we have to give donations, like fundraisers and stuff like that, it seems like they don't generate enough money. And this is the first time I've asked for the Creek Tribe any donations for American Legion. And we pay bills sometimes for rent. We got people that's homeless, can't get around, have to buy gas for them sometimes. I've gave money to veterans out of my own pocket so I can get home because they're short of gas money. And, you know, we were always short of funds for the American Legion. But that's the only time, you know, I ask for a donation to drive here to help veterans out mostly.
Okay.
Any
questions for Mr. Yehola? Any representatives have any questions? Thank you very much for being here.
Yeah. Glad to be here. If I can get any service to the veterans here, like Ken Davis, I told him if you need any help, give me a holler because I'm always free. I travel myself to various places. You know, some of them, yeah, you know, they can't get around no, you know, transportation stuff like that. I go there to their house and help them out. No big deal. Mm-hmm. Well, I like to do that. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
No questions?
Wait.
Roll call vote, please.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
No.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 2 in favor and 1 against.
2 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, it'll be sent to BF&J for funding source. NCA 18-099, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to construct a veterans memorial monument in the town of Payton, Oklahoma, which no action was taken on June the 11th. Sponsors Representative Travis Scott.
Madam Chair, motion to do pass.
Motion by Representative Hicks for do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Madam Chair, at this time, Representative Scott and Representative from Payton is here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate you giving us the opportunity today. Ms. White, Mickey White, is from Payton, Oklahoma, and she has taken the initiative to start this monument in the town of Payton. As you know, we don't have a community in Payton. Right now, they're kind of in the gray areas of certain communities out there. Right now, Cromwell is actually redoing their boundaries, and so they will be picking up this part of the community in that section, and they haven't been approved yet as far as their constitution. So they will be within the boundaries of Cromwell after that is approved by the chief. Ms. White has had several individuals help her. They have raised half the money that is for the purchase of this monument. And I'll let Ms. White talk a little bit about what she intends to do and how the monument will be placed.
Well, since this has happened, we've got some land donated from up for it to, so it can be on Main Street. And I don't really, you know, it's... Let me see your paper so I can explain. I think I've sent all of y'all these papers, and y'all have had them, right?
Yes.
So do you have any questions you want to ask me?
Are there any questions?
There is over 40 Indians, Creek Nation Indians, that will be on this monument. And altogether, there's 400-something veterans that will be on this monument.
Yes, Representative Hicks.
What kind of recognition would the Muskogee Creek Nation get?
There is going to be a stone that's going to be on the front that will have it will recognize everybody that's gave money. Your name will be at the top. And we would appreciate whatever you want to give us.
Are there any more questions? Thank you for being here. And all the information we've got here, and I've noticed a lot of names on here that I recognize. No more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
No.
Rufus Scott?
No.
Madam Chair, you got one in favor and two against.
One in favor, two against. That motion fails.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee.
NCA 18-102. A law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to sponsor the National Indian Health Board 35th Annual National Tribal Health Conference. Sponsors, Representative Hicks.
Madam Chair, motion to postpone indefinitely.
Motion by Representative Hicks to postpone indefinitely. Is there a second? Second by Representative Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I ask why we have to postpone indefinitely?
The reason it's being postponed is the department is actually going to cover it, so they don't have to come for us for the funding.
Thanks, sir. That's fine. Thank you, ma'am.
Roll call vote, please.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got three in favor and zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. That motion passes. Excuse me. NCA 18-103, law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of funds awarded by the Nike N7 and Charities Aid Foundation America, Inc. to the Muskogee Youth Services Program.
Motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Representative Jennings. Is there a second? Second by Representative Scott. I think the legislation bill is very... explains itself. What they are trying to do with this monies is to go to the communities, and I think there's four communities altogether that they're trying to reach out to the youth with their fitness and cultural training. I mean, it's Coweta, Tulsa, Wetumpka, and I think Okemah will be one. later on, but if there's any questions, I'll ask Ms. Tiger if she is here to answer any. Questions? No? Roll call vote, please.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. NCA 18-104, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Okmulgee County Community Garden. As sponsors, Representative Hicks.
Madam Chair, motion to pass.
Motion for due pass by Representative Hicks. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion?
Madam Chair, at this time we have some representatives from the Okmulgee County Garden. They can come forward and explain what they're going to do with the money and if there's any questions they could answer.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here. The Okmulgee Community Garden serves the Okmulgee County and a large population of Creek and other people. Our garden is open to all that live within the county, and we're about education. The idea is to teach people to grow and then teach people about healthy eating and as you know, diabetes is a big problem in our community, and this is one way to educate people and to make a difference. One of the things that we do at the garden every year is to take, we have a program called Veggie Fest. We take that to all 11 schools in this county, and there's no charge. We go give a program. Dr. Osborne at Osborne started the garden in 2011, gives a program particularly about healthy eating, and so we want to continue this program. But one of our problems at the community garden, as you know, it's located out by the health department right next to your facilities at the hospital, and one of the things that we really are in need of is, since we don't charge anyone anything for all our services, we have to pay insurance and utilities, and in order to continue to operate that, that's always a problem. So this money would probably be used mostly for that. Sometimes we have to cut our program short because we don't have enough money to operate our greenhouse all year long. But we've been very supportive of things in the community, working with schools. We've done things at various schools to help school gardens, and some actually at Creek Nation. So we certainly would appreciate support of this. Like I say, there are, and we submitted pictures and various groups that have been out there. It's about the children. We like to do many things with them, and so we go wherever we're needed, but we need, you know, support to continue the program and to make it even more successful. We have many more plans, but that's our need right now, and we certainly would appreciate any help that we can get for that. And we encourage you all, any of you, to come out and visit the garden and see what we're doing. And we, like I say, we visit all 11 schools and give plants and tell them how to grow them and tell them about healthy eating and all. So that's one of our big programs in the spring of the year. So that's what we're about, what we'd like to, what we approach you about. So, and we appreciate anything you could do for us.
Okay. Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the reason I visited with Bob, and the reason I brought it forth is two things. What really got my attention was them going out to the schools, reaching out to our children. Granted, it's not just Native Americans, it's everybody. And I thought that was a great thing for them to do, because eventually, someday, we're all going to need another resource of food items. And so that was it. And then another thing that I liked was the garden that they actually have. People can go out there and get some items if they need it.
and there's no charge for that either. So that's some of the items that I just wanted to bring forward to that Bob didn't really cover. So anyway, just wanted to share that as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. More questions? Representative Koenigs.
So I know this has been going on for a while, and Dr. Roy was involved. So previously, when Muskogee Food Sovereignty was in operation, did you have any dealings with them?
We did. We actually, they had a program called Beginning Farmers and Ranchers, and the Kerr Center did a lot of work with us at that time, and actually did programs out there for teaching people, you know, different types of equipment to use and what was available, and using cover crops in the garden. So yes, we did from that standpoint, but that was kind of tied to their grant on beginning farmers and ranchers, which some of their programs were held out here
They had a program through the community, the 10 by 10, where they would go out and help
yes.
the citizens
yes.
Do that. But also, you know, like the Indian pumpkins and softy corn, so have you grown that there at the garden?
Yes, we have. They had a plot out there, and they grew different types of plants out there. So, yes.
Thank you.
You still have them, Beth?
No, they haven't participated this year, but we certainly would welcome them back. And we'd also welcome anyone. They just have to fill out an application at the health department, and we can assign plots, and we're good to work with youth or anyone that has a desire to come out and learn. And that's what, when the garden was started, it was started to provide a place for people to garden, but it's taken on a new direction, and that is education, you know, to provide people with information and to give them direction and to teach them, because if they learn particularly when they're young, then they're going to pick it up. But there's a lot of retired people out at the garden in the evening, and it's so interesting because it's a community, and you see so many out there. And like I say, we don't charge for anything. We have done that, and that somehow we might be able to support our continued programs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Madam Chair, one other thing that I thought of that we discussed was Saturday on Muskogee Youth, they were talking about a garden. I guess they have a garden somewhere. Was that for them?
Sure.
Or did I not hear them? Anyway, Bob said that they would be willing to donate a plot or let the Harvest Muskogee Youth to have their own plot at their school.
Yes, Ms. Tiger. They do have a plot.
They're starting a garden, so that would be, I can talk with Nancy about that.
Okay. No more questions? Thank you very much for being here. Roll call vote, please.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
No.
Madam Chair, you got 2 in favor and 1 against.
2 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. NCA 18-105, a law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the Barracks Foundation. Sponsors, Representative Deere.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Jennings. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion. Gentlemen.
Madam Chair, the sponsor's on travel, so she asked me to introduce this bill.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. Are there any questions, or would you like to go ahead and start on the organization and what?
Absolutely. Just a little bit about myself. My name is Victor Lozama, and I'm the founder and director of the Barracks. I'm a 20-year veteran. My co-partner is Ray. He's a 20-year veteran as well from the Air Force. I did 10 years in the Army, 10 years in the Marine Corps, and I did several tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, flying the OH-58 Delta Kiowa Warrior helicopter. I retired in 2011, and when I came back home, I realized that we have a lot of resources in all of our cities for our veterans. However, it's hard for our veterans to find these resources. I found out that they have to drive from point A to point B to point C to get all their questions answered. And not only that, but I noticed that a lot of these organizations that we currently have in place, like the American Legion and the VFW, are great organizations, but there's a huge generation gap between Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan. And they're really missing the mark when it comes to our generation. Well, when Vietnam and Korean War veterans came back home, they didn't have to worry about how to use a computer or what the internet is and anything like that. They could just go to a fellow employer and find a job. Now these days, everything's online. You have to know how to use a computer. So on top of that, a lot of our generations, they're not going to the VFW American Legion because they're very outdated. And for that reason, our men and women don't have a place that they call their own anymore. So I had this crazy idea to get together a group of ragtags like ourselves from the different services. So there's actually 8 of us from the Marine Corps, Navy, Army, Air Force, and we actually have 2 police officers who are on our little group. And I came up with the concept of the barracks, and I wanted a consolidated place where our veterans can come to and get educated, have a place for recreation, and have a place that that they can just call their own. So we were actually toying with the idea of getting a building from the American Legion in Muskogee, and that deal fell through. And then we were approached by a family who said they had an old nursing home that's been abandoned. It's the old Grace Living Center. It was 30,000 square feet. And they were gracious enough to donate it to our cause because they heard our story, and they thought that what better place to have it than this place. And it's right down the hill from the VA itself. So as we went to inspect the area, come to find out it was vandalized because it was actually empty for about a year. And come to find out, the vandals went in there and were stealing copper wiring. They stole the really big stuff from the roof to the poles. They busted up 32 toilets. All this, a lot of costs that we weren't expecting. They destroyed 6 of our AC units and pretty much cutting all the copper. Just thievery like it's been going on today. So that didn't divert us. That kind of motivated us to keep going on with the mission because we knew something like this was needed. So through the generosity of our community, we started doing fundraisers. We raised over $7,000 to get our electricity back. We just finished another charity that we did for raising money for the toilets. So we raised up $3,500 because these were the industrial type ones that had the flushometer on top. Well, that piece was made of brass, so they went through and destroyed every single one of them. So we raised enough money for that as well, and we're going to start on that actually here in about 3 to 4 weeks. Our electricity just got up last week. We're about 80% electricity. But throughout this process of getting everything up, we've been decorating the inside. Local organizations like churches and foundations have come over. OG&E has helped in, coming and helping us paint the walls, clean the facility up. So if you browse through our webpage or our Facebook page, everything you're seeing inside has been either donated or has been donated. Time has been donated to get it done. Just Saturday, Ray led a group of 20 kids. About 20 kids from it was called Mission Muskogee, which is a variety of churches that get together. It's a summer group, and they came in and painted our chapel, and they painted 2 other rooms. But so the barracks, pretty much, we have a 30,000 square foot facility. We have a recreation room with Xboxes, flat screen TVs, where you can rent out DVDs. We have a chow hall that we hope to provide 3 meals to homeless veterans or any veteran who can't afford a meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they'll be 100% free. We also, those people living in the barracks will also be employed there as well. So while you're residing in the barracks, you're going to be put to work. You're going to be cooking, clean dishes, anything that we need help with. And so we're going to have 8 individual single rooms for what we call transitional veterans. We'll be working with other organizations like Kai Boys, who are going to find those veterans permanent housing. So our goal is to get those veterans off the streets immediately, get them inside the barracks, and every 2 rooms shares a shower and a bath. And these rooms are really, really nice. They're 10x10, and they have their own private rooms. On top of those 8 single rooms, we have 4 family rooms. Those family rooms can house between 6 to 8 people. They're going to have 4 single beds for the kids and 1 queen-size bed for the mom and dad. And they all have their private individual showers. And those rooms would be like a Ronald McDonald House if you think about it. So if you have a loved one who's at the VA getting surgery, you can actually come to the barracks, stay there for free with your family members, and be surrounded by fellow veterans and families who know what you're going through. We're blessed enough that every single one of those rooms is sponsored out right now. We have local companies who sponsored every single room, and what that means is that they're responsible for coming and painting furnishing the rooms and decorating the rooms as they see fit. So we're very blessed for that. But we're also going to have a computer lab. Our computer lab has 12 computers that we will teach classes like Microsoft Office, the basic classes that you need for any office job. How to look online for a job, how to apply for online. We'll be working with OK Works, which is also Workforce Oklahoma. We'll be utilizing their programs, because our goal is not to reinvent the wheel. If there's other organizations that already have these programs in place, we just want to combine those forces into one. So we have the computer lab. We have a barber shop in there, which is sponsored by OG&E. They will have four barbers in there Monday through Thursday giving free haircuts to our men and women. And then we also have a closet that right now all we're taking is shirt, nice interview clothes, if you will. So nice dresses, suits, shirts, collar shirts, and stuff like that. So our goal is you come over, you get educated, and then you hopefully get a job interview. And then if you can't afford a nice clothes or a nice haircut, we're going to get you those things the day before your interview and hopefully get you a step above everybody else and get you a job. We also have a recreation room. We have a library that's sponsored by the VFW. It's a whole room dedicated to a library that's going to be both paperback and digital. So we'll have Kindle Fires and iPads you can actually check out if you'd like. We have two gyms now. When we opened up the first Facebook fundraiser, we said anybody has old gym equipment. Well, we were flooded with amazing gym equipment. Everybody had the same reason. Well, I bought this for Christmas thinking I was going to work out, and you know that didn't work out. So they gave us all this equipment, amazing equipment. And we actually had to have two rooms for our gym. We also have a chapel. It's a non-denomination chapel, and we're going to have a chaplain from the VA. She wants to come down and do a sermon once a week. And we hope to have an activities center, which is going to be either providing paint classes, pottery classes, MMA fights, you know, anything that our men and women that they want to just stay busy, that's our goal. But at the end of the day, what I want to see is I want to get all these disabled veterans and those veterans who are coming back home, to get them out of their house, to get them out of their room. That room is a cave. They have nothing to do. And I want to get them out and repurpose them, give them a reason to come out, have them come out and hang out with our fellow veterans, watch TV, play some board games. But at the end of the day, this is something that no one else has done before. And we're very proud of how far we've come so far. But my goal, my long-term goal, is to have a barracks in every state that has a heavy populated area. Because I think this is something that needed to be done a long time ago, and we could be on the grounds of being the next Wounded Warrior Project, is what everyone tells us. Because it's too easy to do. There's plenty of abandoned nursing homes around there. There's no reason we can't just repurpose one every time. And we're very proud of how far we've come. But I can talk forever, so I'm going to shut up now.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you, sir. Do you have bids as far as the work that money you're
requesting? For the AC units? No, we have all the work that's been done so far has been by local veterans who've had companies and stuff. Out of the six units that we have, only four can be repaired. The other two, they just pretty much took the motors, everything out, they cut all the copper wiring. But we have one veteran who has been coming to us and saying, what can be done? Our electricians, who are veterans, our fellow veterans have been doing all the work right now, they're going to rewire the ACs back, but it's going to require resoldering all the copper that they stole out, pretty much putting back the Freon, stuff like that. But he estimated that it'll be about between $25,000 to $3,000 for each unit. We don't need every unit fixed because we're actually closing out certain hallways. We don't want to open up the entire facility. That would be dumb to do. So we have certain hallways that we set aside because at the end of the day, the overheads are going to kill us. So we want to keep it below at least $1,500 a month. So by shutting down certain hallways, we don't have to turn on all the ACs. So right now, we pretty much need three ACs fixed, which is the chow hall and the two hallways to keep the temperatures at ease. Every single room in the hall, in the barracks, the actual living rooms, they all have their individual ACs, like a hotel. Those AC units that you see in the hotel, that's how all those units are set up. So we pretty much just need three AC units. And he said we're looking at a cost between, you know, $8,000 to $9,000 to get them all up and going again.
Scott and
Jenny. In the legislation, this money is designated for the air conditioning units.
Yes, sir. 100%. And it's hot in there right now, but people are still working.
We have to get the air stabilized in order to get the humidity out and stabilize the building. Until we get that done, it's just enough to battle.
When they were up there, they ripped out the wire from the roof, so we had a lot of extensive water damage that we used all the money that we first did to help out with the mold, painting, ripping down the old wallpaper, and just getting the place cleaned up. But we've come a long way. Like I said, we've done an amazing job.
No questions? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Cindy Beaver.
Mindy, I'd like to also thank the Muskogee Indian community for the support we've already made in donation to this organization.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, let's move the case.
I'm just curious, if you do get the money for this, nothing against the veterans, but what about their work? Is that going to be guaranteed?
Oh, yeah, no, when it comes to repairing the ACs, no, he actually has a company, he actually runs a company. But, no, we can send bids out to get it repaired. I mean, if that's something that a certain other foundation wants to pick up and say, hey, you know, we'll come and fix out your ACs, you know, we're not looking for money, we're looking to get the ACs repaired. So,
and the reason I asked for the bids is because I was making sure that what you're requesting was enough to cover.
Oh, that's not, it's not, I can tell you it's not enough, you know, but it's
that's
a start.
That's why.
And whatever we're short, we'll go out there and work hard again and get the remaining balance. Yes, sir.
Okay.
We know it's not enough, but whatever we get, we're grateful for it.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That bill passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. NCA 18-106, a law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation to the Employment and Training, Vocational, Tribal, and Incentive Grants Program for fiscal year 2018 budget. Sponsors, Representative Jennings.
Motion for a due pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Jennings. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Oh, Hicks. I'm sorry. Discussion?
Mr. Anderson. Oh,
of course. Yeah. Speaking here.
With the current budget that we have, we are actually short of funding 373 students as far as with the incentive for the spring, and then also for dispersing travel grants for the summer term for our students.
Are there any questions?
You want to comment on your letter in reference to OSU-IT and College of Muskogee Nation?
The current legislation that is in place, we fund College of the Muskogee Nation. But when we first started funding them, it was ruled that they were a vocational school, vocational technical school. But now that they've received full accreditation, they are considered a college. But they are still being funded under employment and training. But according to legislation, they should be funded under higher education. We also fund all of the private schools, vocational and technical schools, all that are nationally accredited, from beauty school to barber school to CNA certification. We do all of the short-term, long-term programs. We fund nationally, and we also fund at the vocational and technical schools within our jurisdiction. And with the current legislation that we have, we fund 3 times a year. We fund for fall, spring, and summer. we're actually going to be submitting new legislation to fix, well, I would say make some recommendations to those guidelines.
Thank you.
I have another question. Representative Hicks.
Thank you. Out of the 373, are they those all creeks or?
The travel and incentive grant is only for creek citizens.
So the 373.
Yes.
I was just asking because in this one letter it has Creek Citizens and other federally recognized tribes.
Yes, it's only for Creek Citizens.
Okay.
Any questions?
Chairman?
Yes.
In the, I'm just looking at the budget. So with this extra $300,000, would the total budget be for FY18 be $2 million?
We're actually only asking for a supplemental. We're only asking for a supplemental for the budget.
And so you're adding, but the original budget was 1.7 million?
Yes, but we're only asking to supplement FY18 budget. We're not asking for an increase into 2019. We're not asking for an increase into the cap.
Yeah, so FY18 will be put on 2 million. You're adding $300,000 on the 1.7, okay, 2 million total. So out of that 2 million, do you know how many Greek citizens do you have? Do you have a total number of people you have?
I could actually get you that number.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it in legislation, so I just wondered how that 2 million, how many people you have out of that 2 million.
For this school semester alone?
Yeah, for the $2 million, yeah.
Thanks for being here, Courtney. Roll call vote, please.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
BFJ.
Be sent to BFJ for funding source. NCA 18-107, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation for the purchase of a SUV and 8 15 passenger vans for chartered communities of the Muscogee Creek Nation. Sponsors, Representative Hill, co-sponsors, Representative Beaver, Freeman, and Tiger.
Motion
for a due pass by Representative Scott.
Second
by Representative Jennings. In discussion?
I just want to add one thing on the vans. The build date actually started June 15th, but the production date isn't until next month, which would take us 10 to 12 weeks to possibly get the vans, which would put us past October. I don't know how that would work out. And we got some quotes. We got one for $262,000 just for vans, but off the state contract, we got them for $246,352. And we're still waiting on another couple quotes for the Ford Escape for Duck Creek. And right now it's at
$19,453.
Chairman?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Ms. Tullaby, are these 18 or 19s? 19. Of course, we purchased vans several years ago for these communities, but eventually they're wearing out. Some by hauling pasture, some by wood, I don't know.
Yes, Representative Scott.
Why is Duck Creek requesting that SUV?
Yes, so they do a lawnmower service for their communities, and they use that SUV. They have one presently, their hauler, trailer, and their lawnmower, which is not that much.
Oh, so yeah. Okay, all right, thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Ms. Topol, she got it. Ms. Topol, you have any comments?
Did purchase some vans earlier this fiscal year for some of the communities. We were trying to phase them out because, like Representative Beaver did state, some of them are older, but we were trying to be conservative. But it's my understanding that some of these communities are wanting them now, the need for them. So, as far as community research and development went, and myself, we just helped assist them with drafting. The resolutions that are attached from each community, but it's up to council whether you want to go ahead and fund it right now or wait. But again, this will put, if this passes, this would put probably about two-thirds of all the communities getting a new vehicle, so I would be assuming the remaining third will be coming next fiscal year, more or less, to update their vehicles. So just number wise, so you know, last time we did 7 vans, so this is for another, what is it, 10?
8.
Okay, so that would put us at 15 vans, so probably another 10 more communities, more or less, that may be requesting them for the next fiscal year. So just number wise, so you guys are aware.
But you also have a list of the vans.
Yes,
they go along by ages from the communities, right?
We were provided the list from Mr. Holaby, the year and date, and I believe we have been working with these communities that are requesting. If their van is in decent enough shape, that they will be returning those and hopefully to our fleet department to be used by other departments of the nation.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Section 3, at least would that be where we'd want to add that language? Section 3, where it says all unexpended funds appropriated by and paid to this act shall be returned to the tribal treasury and shall be available for future appropriation after the council. These need to, that would need to be changed until all funds are fully expended. That way it can be carried over. That would be section 3, starting in line 9 through 11.
Until all funds are expended?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want it as scriveners or you want a motion? Okay.
I'd like to ask the controller about the funds available to purchase them now or.
He said from the last numbers on our last BF&J meeting that we'll from the interest remaining from permanent fund, so we have enough to cover it.
Thank you.
That's agreeable.
Yeah.
and we still need to make that amendment.
Main thing we need to amend.
Okay. So let me make that amendment.
The total.
For that.
This is just a $1, correct?
I'll make that amendment. Motion to make the amendment.
I'll make that motion. It's 260. I'll make the amendment to section 3 that.
Motion. Okay. Motion has been made by Representative Jennings to amend in section 3, line 9 through 11, until all funds are expended.
Second
by Representative Scott. Roll call vote, please.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. The amendment has passed. Are there any more questions?
Mr. Holby, how much is the total amount?
Well, if I get the state contract price in from England Ford on this last one, it'll be $262,131. Right now it's sitting at $265,805.
Amend it to the higher amount.
It should be amended to the higher amount. You know.
Well, we're hoping today, but I was hoping to have it before I came here.
Well, we can pass out a million.
Yes.
No more questions? Yes, Representative Beaver.
I was just looking at this, the legislation. It says that all vans must be brought to the nation's police department to be serviced. So that's oil changes and tires or whatever. So who's responsible for paying that? Is it the community responsible for paying that?
Yeah.
Are
they
able to pay that out of their CVD funds?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Yes. Okay. And what about insurance? Do you respond for
risk management?
Risk management.
So the tribe carries insurance.
And the tax, the tribe pays the tax.
Okay. Representative Hicks.
I don't care. I was just curious. Duck Creek requested the SUV instead of a truck if they're just using it for mowing purposes. I was just curious.
Mr. Jennings.
It's in a resolution that they've sent in. Question the SUV.
Did they, at the meeting, did they state why were you at that meeting?
Yeah, that's what they were.
Because they have an SUV now, it's OU Con.
Right.
It's worn out.
Right.
So I don't know what the preference was between the SUV and a pickup.
They just want to use the SUV. Okay, I'm just curious. The truck would make more sense to me, but probably cheaper.
I want to ask Ms. Topol.
Yes.
Does all the communities that have the vans, are they set up where they have to vote, the board sets up who can drive the vans?
Usually it is set up by the board. The board is not the one that has to drive it. They can have a volunteer from the community, but they have to send in their license and insurance to risk management. Well, they send it to the community research. They send it to Phil Booker at Risk Management to get it approved, and then they're listed as an approved driver for that community. So it doesn't have to be someone on the board, but the
right.
Board usually sets that up.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Any more questions? No. Roll call vote, please.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes and will be sent to the BFNJ for funding source.
And Randall. Robert as co-sponsor.
Representative Huff would like to be a co-sponsor on this legislation.
He has to be present.
He has to be present. Okay. NCA 18-108, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to sponsor the 4th annual Tulsa Charity Flight Night. Sponsors Representative Tiger, our Speaker Tiger. Do I have a motion?
Motion for due pass.
Motion by Representative Scott for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Hicks. Discussion?
I missed my chair myself.
Thank you.
Those chairs will get you. Thank you, Madam Chairman, committee.
Thanks. Thank you. So appreciate everything that you all have done, and have some results and some information from the past year to share with you. This life-changing STEM education for students and teachers to prepare them for the future workforce needs. We both do a lot of work with other workforce folks here in the area. We work with our teachers and our students. We know that if we can give the teacher the resources he or she needs, they're able to reach so many more students. So what I did was put together some general information and then also very specific to your districts as well as schools, so that you would have a list of schools where we were able to do this outreach. In particular, we were working with Greg Anderson to try to schedule the Space Week, where we bring in the Space Foundation, their educators, and astronauts to talk to kids, to interact with them. So not only do they learn activities, not only do teachers have the opportunity to learn about how to conduct these activities and teach new items in their classroom, but we bring in astronauts as well. We were working to try to have that actually here and bring in many schools for that. The scheduling unfortunately didn't work out in January, but it will be coming up again this coming January. And our goal is to, again, work with the nation and try to bring in as many of the area school districts and children as possible to experience this. So we do still reach into the districts with that program and many others. And I've highlighted some of those programs. And then if you would like a full listing of every single program and school that was reached, I also have that. It was fairly significant, so I did not include that in the handouts, but it includes the detail of everything that you see there. So one of the things we also try to do, which I don't have all of the data yet, is to look at every single school district and then determine how many Muscogee Creek Nation students are in that school, and then the percent of the students that would be reached through the program to better identify for you exactly how many. I'm missing some data that I'd have to work to get from five or six of the elementary schools. For example, Kiefer got drone kits, and they had students building drones and robotics there. I'm not sure the percentage of Muscogee Creek Nation students there, but last year, or year before last, that was about 911 kids. I would anticipate, based on the fact that we reached even one more school and had more programs this year, that that would have gone up based on the fact that the number of total students we reached went up significantly. So, in summation, on the back, on the next to last slide, we also provide grants, direct classroom grants. So we have classroom supplies where teachers can come and get supplies. We also provide a grant for professional development and for classroom grants. So primarily this year we were able to provide support for supplies to Glenpool, Hilldale, Sepulpa, is that Buteman? and these schools, some of these schools are pretty far out, so I apologize. I don't have Butner. Thank you. So I don't want to mispronounce that, but we provided school supplies for those teachers as well, and they can just come and get whatever they want when they're able to. So.
How about any schools on the, say, the northeast part of our jurisdiction? I know Porter, Wagner, Coweta.
Yes, so there were some schools that we reached, it looks like three in Wagner County, and I believe we also were at Coweta this year with the Space Week presentation.
Yes, ma'am. Coweta, they had cardboard and duct tape regatta, as well as a STEM expo at Coweta High School. Also a few more schools, Freedom Elementary in Sepulpa, Jefferson Heights in Sepulpa, Sepulpa Middle School, Gypsy Public Schools in DePue, Kiefer High School, Mounds High School, Braggs, Hilldale, Whittier Elementary, Beggs Elementary, as well as the high school, Dunbar Elementary, and Milwaukee as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Anderson, do you have any comments? Mr. Anderson?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any comments as far as...
Friday night?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we have had communication with them in the past 6 months. They wanted to have an event here. There was a conflict at the time trying to get schools involved. But from what I understand, it is a really nice event, and we do want to be a part of it in the future.
And we're planning on that.
We spoke several times, so hopefully in the next few months we can communicate and set something up.
Perfect.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
Sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes. Thank you. Any questions? Representative Pigs?
Thank you. So how do schools get involved with this?
So a number of different ways. So we, through our beneficiaries, Tulsa Regional STEM Alliance, which reaches out all to Northeastern Oklahoma, and Fab Lab, the mobile Fab Lab, they can request it, and they also outreach to educators via email, via contacting them. When it came to looking for Space Week, in fact, before Greg and I were able to connect, we were reaching out directly to the schools. And literally, I had your map out, and I was looking. Plus, I grew up not far from here, so I was like, okay, we've got to get very cool and use it more. So we go straight to the school, oftentimes to the principal, sometimes to the teachers, and then other times the teachers, principals, and others will come to us and request this information and these resources.
So looking at your map for schools, how far south do you go?
Actually, I think we go just about to the state line.
I noticed on here you only have one school in the Okwesi district. That's Butner.
Yes, we got that far south. We could do, actually I would welcome if you have schools that you would prefer us to go to and have a contact there. The best way for us to get into that school is to have someone who has a vested interest and or is very interested in getting the resources or the information. So like I said, those teachers are very resourceful and they will reach out and try to get this information, but sometimes we just don't have the right person at the school to get to. So I'd love to have those contacts so that we can go to whatever schools you're thinking of. Oh, and Henrietta? No, the Naval Academy. In 2016, the U.S. Naval Academy. They do an outreach every year and come to see, basically see us couple times a year with their students, and they do interactive STEM activities with teachers and students, and we were in Henrietta for that in 2016. We try to spread that around.
So when you set up and do demonstrations or whatever, so what all do you need? Just a building?
We need students and the teachers, and sometimes we bring them to us, and other times the teachers will bring them to a central location to do the professional development, to get educated and get the information. When it comes to the students, oftentimes we come to them. There are some exceptions. The STEM Expo that Speaker Tiger referred to is actually in Tulsa, and they're bused in, and there are companies and colleges and they're all represented there, and they do interactive, career-focused activities with them to teach them what career opportunities are available and out there. So that would be an example where the kids are brought in from other areas. But oftentimes the bus fees are covered for that, too.
stipends for the teachers when they come and do professional development are given. Did that answer? Was that okay?
Are there more questions? Yes, Representative Jennings.
Thank you. So I'm like Mr. Hicks. 16 is what it shows outside of Tulsa County. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the Fab Lab and there's only two outside of Tulsa. So
I think that, right, so the Fab Lab has done a lot more on the Muskogee side of things as well. I do feel like we have opportunity to work with them to get into the schools, and I would actually, I feel like that collaboration with the education department will enable us to do a little bit better. When you go with the Fab Lab, it's a 5 to 6 week commitment for the schools, so sometimes, and this does happen, we reached out to a couple of schools for Space Week even, and they said, hey, our schedule doesn't match, or we're in testing and we can't do this, so it's sort of a provides us a challenge, but also an opportunity to get into that school. They have to allow us in and allow us to be scheduled in for that kind of time period.
I have another question.
Yes, sir.
So, what does this actually do? This carry flatten, but what does that do?
So, we are overseeing all of the programs and the outcomes and ensuring that we're not just, hey, this is how many kids we reached, but hey, when we go out and do this program, then these kids are more interested in science, technology, engineering, and math when we're done. Or these kids know something new, and we actually track and measure that. So we oversee the evaluation side to make sure the programs are effective, but we also raise the funds to make the programs happen. So we're kind of that umbrella organization. Tulsa Regional STEM Alliance and Fab Lab do not have fundraising events, and they do have some support, obviously, to maintain their operations, but we're directly funding all of the programs that are happening and ensuring pressing out into the rural areas. I think for all of us, the rural areas are really important. Sometimes it's a little harder to get there from a logistics standpoint, but I think when you've got people that are willing to collaborate, like Greg, how do we get more kids? How do we get the most? Rather than me going to one school, rather than me going to Morris one day and one afternoon, what if all of these smaller schools were able to come to one location? So I think that we have to get creative sometimes to get as many kids as possible. Right? There's only so many program staff. So there's a lot more kids to reach. You're right.
Six. Looking right at you. Looking right at you.
You know how many years Creek Nation has actually funded this?
So let's see. We have 4 years and I think three.
Mm-hmm.
It did. I think we had 1 year off. Maybe.
At least 4 years.
4 years?
Yes, sir.
And how long has Butler been part of this program?
I'd have to go back and look and see. Again, the programs, there's 20 plus different programs, and they vary from year to year as to which schools do which program, which teachers want to come to which professional development, so it changes every single year as to which schools. If you wanted a comprehensive 4-year list of all the schools, I could get that for you. It would take me a little bit to dig into all those records, but I would be happy to do that if you wanted to.
Oh, I would, because I'm just curious of how many south of Okmulgee have actually been participants of this. Like Mr. Jennings saying, the majority is north of here, which is good. I mean,
right.
But we're from the south and mm-hmm. there's nothing there. I mean, other than Buckner, but in 4 years, that's why I'd like to see it in 4 years. How many times have we actually been down south?
Get that. I'll pull your district information.
Are there any more questions? Any representatives have questions? Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me again, and thank you for your support and for enabling us to do what we've been able to do. Really appreciate it.
Roll call vote, please.
Rufus Scott.
No.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 2 in favor and 1 against.
2 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. Be sent to BF&J for a funding source. We're down to other business. The Secretary of Health, Mr. Terry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to start off today talking about the Eufaula Indian Health Center. We are on track, and hopefully we're going to be able to open that clinic sometime around the 1st of August. We don't have an exact date yet. We have some furniture that we're still trying to, such as the dental clinic. We know that we have a couple of more weeks, and we don't want to put out an opening date until we're exactly sure that we're going to have an opening date. But since we've been in here, we do have a ribbon cutting date set for July the 27th at 10 o'clock. So if you would like to write that date down, you'll be getting an invitation, but that's hot off the press information right there. At the Creek Nation Community Hospital, all of our systems and equipment are operational at the new facility. We've not experienced any major issues. We're still tweaking things as it does to take buildings of this size to tweak it. So far, everything is going really smooth. At the medical center, we are working with Tribal Construction and the engineers to replace the parking lot services out there. If you've ever driven onto that parking lot, you know that you're taking your life and your car into your own hands. It's pretty rough, but that's going to hopefully start very soon. We are working with Children's Architects right now to expand the LTAC hospital to at least 12 beds. As you guys may recall, we currently have 4 beds, and so we often get a lot of complaints that we don't have a place to put people. And so this is really going to expand our capability from 4 beds to 8 beds. You may have heard that Oklahoma has passed State Question 788 regarding the medical marijuana, and that there are a lot of people starting to ask questions about what's that going to mean for us. In short, about 2 days after the state question passed, we did get an email from the Indian Health Service nationally that has told us that because the usage and distribution of marijuana is still a federal crime and that we receive federal funding, that if our physicians were to prescribe or diagnose or distribute this, that we would be jeopardizing our federal tort status. And so we're working right now trying to work through all of that. We may be going to the state tomorrow for a quick meeting to have some more discussion on this, but we understand that this is a big, big issue, and we're going to try to get through it as easy as we can. For those of you that would like the information, that if we're going to be directing people, an individual under the age of 18, they're going to need the signature of 2 physicians and a legal guardian. The license will cost $100 and last for 2 years. Although if a person has Medicare or Medicaid, the license will only be $20. And so they are going to have a lot of restrictions regarding this, and it's going to be very regulated here, and we don't know how it's all going to shake out, but I'll keep the council up to speed. As I know more, you'll know more. We brought on some new providers for the month of June. Dr. Emily Bruce is an optometrist working at the Okema Clinic. Dr. Marcus Fidel, he's a psychiatrist that's up on the Hope Unit. I'm very happy to report that we have been running a census of 16 patients, which is completely full up on that Hope Unit at the hospital for the last several weeks. So that's very good. Dr. Michelle Wells is a family practice doctor working at the Okema Clinic. I believe she has worked for the tribe in the past prior to working here. Dr. Amanda Reese is a nurse practitioner at the Eufaula Clinic. She had previously worked at the Stigler Health Center. And Mrs. Rebecca Helms is an advanced nurse practitioner at the medical center who's going to be working in fast track over there. In regards to quality of care, we put more than 25 employees. We're trained in ISO 901, which is worldwide national quality standards. So that was very positive. We're very focused on a fall prevention inside our facilities, and we're tracking and really trying to do a good job of monitoring and tracking falls. The skilled nursing facility over at the rehab hospital survey was on June the 11th, and there were two very low-level findings were noted, and corrective action plans have been developed, so that's very, very good news for us. On our financial viability, we had a good month in June. For the clinics, Coweta made a profit of $11,000. We made money at Wetumpka. We had $5,000 that we made out of Wetumpka, and Okmulgee Clinic had made $129,000 last month. So we're doing very, very good financially in the clinics. The medical center last month made $203,000 because the Hope Unit, which is a big driver, that had 33 admits. For the year, the clinics have a net before transfers of $5.8 million and after transfers of $27 million. And you can look at the graphs for yourself and see that our third-party collections, our Medicare, Medicaid, and insurance continues to rise every month. We hit $5.4 million last month, which you may have heard, which cost me to have to buy ribeyes for the entire billing office. They did very, very well. So outside of that, I'm happy to entertain any questions that you guys might have.
Anyone have a question? Oh, thank you, Mr. Terry, for being here today.
Thank you, Mr.
Crawford.
Maybe that's part of it.
I guess so. I guess so. Is this all the report we're going to get today? Okay, thank you. Do I have any questions on this? Have you had time to look at it? Announcements? Yes.
Madam Chair, I received a call from Gordon McCain. He's on the board at the Yeager Community. And as you may remember, we appropriated some funds to assist them with the construction of a chapel at the Yeager Cemetery. It's been completed in sort of last minute, but they're having their dedication this Saturday, July 14th at 10:30 a.m. And he would like to invite all the council reps and the principal chief and second chief They can make it. That'll be Saturday at 10:30 at the Yeager Cemetery.
Okay.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Any more announcements? A motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Motion by Representative Jennings for adjournment. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. I would like to ask Representative Scott, would you give benediction?
Father God, we